Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout. My name is Az and I'm joined by my favourite co-host, but don't tell Mark. Aww. It's Sam from the Field Family. How are you, Sam?
Oh, I feel so much better now. What an intro that was. Leaders never say that.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, clearly we know who you're the favourite of. So we've got a packed one today. I was building the screens for this and I kind of... Yeah, I was halfway through and I was like, wow, this is going to take us a hell of a long time to get through. So there will be timestamps on this video that I'll make sure are added. And yeah, so you might not want to take the whole thing. I reckon it's going to be about an hour, something like that. But seeing as the transfer window has just closed, I thought it was a good idea for us to go through not just the deadline day signings, because there's quite a few of those, but also talk about all the other signings that there's been throughout. It's been a crazy transfer window, really, for a lot of clubs. So yeah, we're going to cover every team, all the signings and what they kind of mean for FPL and how we think it's going to impact on the sides themselves. Before we do that, I've got a quiz, not just for you, Sam, but for anyone listening. So grab a pen and paper and the answers to these will be revealed as we go through. So I've got four questions for you. So I just want you to write down answers to these four questions. Firstly, without looking, without cheating, obviously, who spent the most money? Who was the biggest net spenders in the league? So in terms of incomings and outgoings, who had the most sort of, you know, the lowest, the high, I don't know how to best say it. Who spent the most? Who spent the most compared to how much they got in from transfer revenue? And the flip side of that, who has the positive net spenders? So who got in more than they spent? That's the easiest way of saying it, isn't it? Who took in more than they spent? Those two. There were six teams that had a positive net spend in the league out of 20 teams. So six out of 20 teams actually took in more money than they spent. Who were they?
Oh my gosh, this is a lot of questions.
The first one is easy, to be fair.
The first one I knew. The second one, I think I know. This one could just be a bit of a guess.
And the last question is, there were seven clubs who had a net spend over 50 million. Who were they? Seven teams had a net spend over £50 million. Who were they? And the answers will be revealed as we go. You got some answers down, Sam?
I got some. What was the last one? Over 50 million, yep. Net spend.
Net spend over 50 million.
Well, I've only got five clubs for that one. Stick that one as well then.
Some of them you'd expect, some of them are a bit more surprising. Right, let's go. So we're going to go straight into the easy question, which was, who was the biggest net spender? The biggest net spender was, of course, Arsenal. Did you have Arsenal, Sam?
Yes, good. I did have, yep. Arsenal. Yep.
So out of, yay, everyone in the league, Arsenal had a net spend of the most money. I've got some graphics on the screen. They're all from Transfer Market. It's a great site where you can see all the incomings and outgoings and those other stats. Sorry if the quality isn't that good, but I did my best so that you can see them. So Arsenal, they bought Ben White, they bought Martin Odegaard, they bought Aaron Ramsdale, and yesterday they got in Tomiyasu from where did they sign him from Bologna in Serie A. They signed Lokonga as well, Nuno Tavares, and they promoted Balogun up from the Arsenal under-23s. They took 27 million in transfers. Most of that was from Willock to Newcastle. and they spent 149 million. I mean, it's the first one we're going to start with. I mean, what do you make of these signings?
I'm not... It's a ridiculous thing to say, isn't it, when you spent that much money, but I'm not hugely impressed by the players that, they've brought in. I think Ben White's a good signing, but it's going to take time for him to bed in. I really liked him at Brighton, and I thought what he did for Brighton last season was great in terms of solidifying that defence. And I think he could do the same for Arsenal, but they've had a really poor start to the season. He hasn't really had an opportunity yet to bed down his relationship with Tierney next to him. Of course, the COVID situation hasn't helped. So I think Ben White, for me, is the most impressive of the sign-ins that they've bought in. I just feel like for the amount of money that they've spent,
you want to see a bit more, don't you? I mean, it says something, the fact that Brighton aren't panicking when they lose a player like Ben White for 50 million. I mean, I rate Ben White really highly. I think he will be a loss to Brighton, but is he going to be a player that brings Arsenal back into the top four? I'm not really sure. Is Ramsdale going to get the starting spot over Leno? I mean, he must be seen as someone who can challenge, because they're paying, you know, 25 million for him. Lokonga's highly rated, but like, I just look at these players and just don't really see how they've massively strengthened the first 11 from what it was last year. I mean, Odegaard's come back in. He was okay last year. I mean, he did quite well in patches, but he never really made it, did he? He was good, if but not fantastic. So I kind of look at these signings and think they're not any better than they were last year, really.
I'm not sure that Odegaard is the sort of player that they really, really needed either. Like, there are some other positions where I think they really needed to be strengthened, but I'm not sure that the Odegaard role was that one. I don't know. It's just a hell of a lot of money, and I'm not really seeing that starting 11 is significantly better as a result of it.
No, I remember on Football Manager, right, is an example for you. I sold a player for quite a lot of money. Who was it? I can't remember. I think it was Eden Dzeko years ago. And I bought in loads and loads of squad players. And I spent all my money, all my transfer budget, and I think I got relegated. And I'm not saying that will happen to Arsenal. I don't think they'll do that badly, but it strikes me as, I mean, Arteta can't say he wasn't backed, right? Because they haven't had a massive outgoing. They've spent £121 million and he's got to deliver. And I'm not sure that these players are the ones that are going to deliver for him. And I wonder how much time he's got left.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, but equally, I'm not convinced it's Arteta that's the problem. I'm really not. I think, you know, he's trained under one of the best managers in the world. He's clearly got a strategy and a process that he's trying to work on at Arsenal. That's obvious from the outside, but he seems to have lost the players, and that relationship breakdown is just, if it's not repairable quickly, then he's not going to have a lot of time left on his hands.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask you a rating for each team, by the way. How would you rate Arsenal's transfer window out of 10?
Four.
What
do you reckon?
Yeah, I'd say four. I think four is probably about right.
Yeah.
That's not good, is it, when you spent 121 million just to be saying four? Okay, let's move on. Let's move on to Aston Villa. So Aston Villa, they've been very busy, obviously. They've signed Buendia, they've signed Danny Ings, Leon Bailey, Ashley Young's coming from Inter, and they've got Tunazebi on loan. They made 114 million in player sales, 100 million of that being, of course, from Jack Grealish. And they spent 95 million, giving them a total net spend in the positive of 19.26 million. And answering the second question, which was, which is the team who had the highest net positive? Is Aston Villa. Surprised by that, considering the players they've bought?
Yeah, because actually, in the reverse of what I've just said about Arsenal, I think that Aston Villa have had a really good window. Mm. They've signed some really good players that have strengthened the areas that they were a little bit lacking last time around. So obviously last season, they did the thing that they really needed, which was buy a really, really good goalkeeper. This time around, they've strengthened in the areas that they were going to lose potentially because of what happened with Grealish going. So Leon Bailey, I think, will have the potential to be a fantastic asset. Buendia, we already know, is an absolutely quality player. And once he's had time to bed in, I think he'll be great. And Danny Ings, for me anyway, is exactly what they needed. He's a proper front man to play alongside Ollie Watkins. I think they've done great business.
Yeah, and I mean, I just love that interview with the owner where he, you know, he said, You know, Grealish is leaving and we're going to replace his creativity with Buendia, his goal scoring with Ings, and his dribbling with Bailey. And, you know, I think Mark pointed out, well, you can't have three players on the ball at once. But, you know, it's a statement, isn't it? I mean, it's a statement of how good and how highly rated Jack Grealish was. But also, they've addressed the things that he brought to the team in three quality players. It's interesting at the moment. I mean, they are, I think they're bottom or one of the bottom teams for kind of expected goals and for attacking. They've had three of the kindest fixtures imaginable. They haven't had all their players fully fit, but he's going to need to start unlocking more from these players going forward.
He is, definitely. But like you say, you know, they haven't had them all there and available. They've been without Watkins. They've been without Bailey for a large chunk of it so far. They haven't had consistency in terms of their defenders either. Obviously, they've had Mings been out with his rib. So I think Aston Villa have got the right players there. They've signed where they needed to sign. You can't replace Jack Grealish, not easily. He was such a big, important character for them. So they've done the best that they can in that circumstances and replaced him with three other quality players to kind of balance out the team, if you like. And I think over the next few weeks or so, as the players start playing together, things will improve. Obviously, game week four is going to be difficult without Martinez, without Buendia, but moving forward, I think they've done the right business in this window.
Yep, me too. And as Paul fans points out in the chat, Arsenal sold Martinez for, what, 20 million and replaced him with Ramsdale for nearly 30. It's interesting transfer dealing, to say the least. How would you rate Villa? What are you giving them? I'm guessing higher than Arsenal.
Oh, a lot higher than Arsenal, given how much less they've spent as well. I probably reckon that they've got to go in at sort of 8 out of 10. Yeah, done really well.
I agree again. Look at that. Agreeing on everything.
What is this as?
I know. I mean, you know, defensively, you know, I think with Konsa and Tunazebe coming in and Mings, they've got a few options there. Right. I mean, Target, I think, is going to be a bit of a problem for them going forward. I don't think he's quite good enough for where they want to be. So they might need to address that at some point, but not awful. But yeah, I mean, they've strengthened massively on last year and bought in. I mean, Danny Ings, I really do think, is a fantastic signing for them, because they'd be worse off already. They'd probably have no points going into game week four. The fixes they've had, Danny Ings has come up with the goods when they've needed him to. So already he's paying off some of that money. Okay, next, Brentford. They bought Aya from Celtic, Oyuka. I'm going to butcher lots of these pronunciations, by the way, so apologies.
Glad you're saying them, not me.
It's also really hard for me to read on my screen as well, so because the font's quite small. They bought Visser from Lorient, and they bought someone from Chelsea under 23s as well. Pearl Harris, what a nice name. So no money incoming. So they've released some players, but not had any money coming in, and they spent $34 million, which is quite a lot for a promoted team to spend. They're going for it. How do you rate Brentford's chances and performances so far? And have been impressed with? I mean, I has been solid, right? Brentford have looked good at the back.
I've been impressed by them, I've got to say. I think they've come up, they've done well. They were particularly good against Arsenal, but maybe that was more to do with Arsenal. Then they had a good game against Crystal Palace, where they were probably unlucky not to get some attacking returns in that game. I think they came up as a really good, small but good squad. And they've added to that with players that they thought that they needed. And like you say, he's made a good start to the season and has strengthened that defensive line. So I think they're decent. You know, you're never going to get huge net spend from your promoted clubs, because they're promoted clubs. They don't have the budget of even Aston Villa, who we've just been talking about, because they don't have that £100 million man that they can spend to fund all these incomings. But they've got a good squad there, and I think they could be all right. There's three worse clubs in the league than them at the moment, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're around the eighth or ninth biggest spenders in the league. So the seven clubs I mentioned who we're talking about in a bit have spent over 50. 34 million is quite high compared to, you know, some of the other teams in the league. So yeah, they have sometimes you see clubs, I think Norwich did it, didn't they, when they first came up? They didn't spend too much money. They kind of said, well, we'll give it a go with the players that we've had in the Championship. But Brentford aren't a club that have done that. They've invested in players. Just for anyone who's complaining about some of these transfer values or saying that Villa weren't the biggest spenders, they spent all the Grealish money. I'm going by the numbers on Transfer Market, so you can take it up with them if you don't agree. These are not my numbers. I've taken it from a reputable site. So, yeah, stop complaining about that in the chat, because it's not on me. Right, next, my team. Oh, sorry, Brentford. Brentford's rating. I mean, I don't know. I've got to be honest. I don't know too much about Onyeka or Visser. We haven't really seen too much of them for me to make a judgment on them. I mean, they paid 9 million for each of them, so they're going to expect to see some returns from them. I can say that I've been very impressed with Aya for 14 million. I'll go first with the rating on this one, give you a bit of a break. I will give them a 7.
Oh, I was kind of toying between 6 and 7. I was kind of like, I think they've done fine for a newly promoted. And I think that's the thing, is you have to take them as a newly promoted club with the budget situation that they have. So for what they've got, yeah, probably they are a 7. If you compare them to, say, what Villa have done, they're probably a 6.
A 6, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, they had a good striker in place. They've signed a centre-back and midfielder and a winger. So it kind of does feel to me that the spine of the team they've improved on. Maybe I'm a bit jealous of it, but I think I'll stay up. I really do. I think there's enough about them, and I've been impressed with them so far. So yeah. I love their manager as well.
I do too.
He's fantastic. Oh God, my team, Brighton. So we took in 56 million. Most of that was from Ben White. Mm-hmm. We spent 51 million, which was more than I thought we had spent, actually. We bought Mwepu. We paid 20 million from him, from Red Bull Salzburg. We bought in this new guy yesterday, Kuru. Oh God, there's no way I'm going to get his pronunciation right. Kurukela.
Like, you getting on the back of your shirt?
Kurukela Deville, something like that. He looks great. I watched his highlight reel, as I always do, and got overly excited, as always. 16 million from Getafe. He's going to probably be our first choice left wing back, I'd imagine. Sonny March has been filling in there for a bit. Dan Burns has been playing there, but I think he's probably come in to take that spot for his own. We bought Abdallah Simmer from Slavia Prague for 7 million. And we bought this new sort of backup goalkeeper from Ajax for 4 million. You will notice that there is no striker on this list, which means I'm going to give them a pretty damning rating, I think. I think we'll be fine. I think we'll stay up. But, oh God, I wish we'd signed a striker, up. Sam. I wish we'd signed a striker.
You will stay up. I don't think there's any doubt that Brighton stay up. I just don't really understand the business that happened here, because you got 50 million for Ben White, which was great business, and you've got to sell him when an offer like that comes in. But why has that not been invested in the front line? Because that's where it was really needed. That's what kind of concerns me. Like, I look at that Brighton defence, and even the goalkeeper, right? You got two decent enough goalkeepers there. You didn't really need to spend the money on another goalkeeper. You didn't. I just think that if you'd have gone in and bought a striker, if you'd have had that little lot there plus a striker, that would have been a good window for Brighton.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we were linked with strikers. And yeah. Potter said kind of straight away, I think he said, like, our priority this window is a striker, something like that. He was very clear that, you know, it wasn't like, I don't think this is something that's been ignored. It's something that that everyone knew needed to be addressed. It's just obviously that the person hasn't come up. What was surprising was Edouard moving from Celtic to Palace, because he was someone that we were linked with for quite a lot of time, and it never transpired. I'm going to give us a 5 out of 10. I think, you know, I think the biggest sort of positive from our transfer window dealing is keeping Bissouma. I think that was absolutely key. And the more reports I saw linking him to Arsenal, United, Liverpool, I think he'll go in the summer. But I think we've got him for at least this season, which is a good signing for us.
I totally agree. I think there was a chance he might come to Spurs had Ollie Skip not come back, having had a great season out on loan to Norwich. He's exactly the sort of player that we needed. And I think Brighton keeping him, it's almost like having another signing, really. So yeah, I totally agree with you. I think it's a far better window than what Arsenal have done, but it's not quite getting to the dizzy heights of what Brentford and Villa have done, because you're lacking that one player that you really needed.
A better window than Arsenal. We've made 5 million profit and not signed a striker and lost arguably our best defender for 50 million. Yeah, we need to stop bashing Arsenal, but it's hard not to when you see the figures.
Difficult.
It is. What would you rate Brighton out of 10 then?
Yeah, I'll give him a 5.
5 out of 10. Yeah, that sounds about right. Burnley. So Burnley, not exactly known for spending huge sums in the transfer window. Took in 8 million from player transfers. Got rid of, spent 28 million. So an overall balance of 20 million. They bought Cornet, which was their big signing yesterday, for 13.5. Nathan Collins from Stoke, 12.6. Connor Roberts from Swansea, highly rated, 2 million. Bargain for him as well. And then a couple of free transfers, like Aaron Lennon still knocking around, and Wayne Hennessy as well. So a pretty standard window for Burnley. What do you make of them this year? They're kind of doing Burnley things already, aren't they? Kicking the crap out of everyone in matches.
Just being Burnley, aren't they?
There's more to them than that. I do always feel harsh when I make that comparison. There is more to them than that, but it's hard when you see some of their games to shake it off. They give the opposition a tough game.
They do. There's nothing, you know, particularly standout in there. It's nice to see Aaron Lennon back in the Premier League again. I think it's a decent enough window for Burnley. They're never going to be challenging, are they? But equally, I don't think they're ever going to get relegated. They're always going to be a kind of mid-table side that are going to play hard. And yeah, there's some decent enough signings in there.
If Dyche left, I don't know what would happen to him. I
think they'd fall apart if Dyche left.
I think they would. Because you look at the squad and I think the kind of the real quality they've got is what Dwight McNeil and Chris Wood up front. And then, yeah, you know, the rest of the team are good, but he gets maybe 6 out of 10 players playing 7.5 out of 10 games every match.
Yeah,
so
totally.
Massive credit to what he's done. How would you rate the transfer window for Burnley then? Do you know much about Cornet?
No, I don't know much about him, to be honest. But the press stuff that I've read about him seems to suggest he's a decent enough signing, which potentially makes me think it's maybe a sort of 6 out of 10 for their window. Just on him alone. And of course, because I do love a bit of Aaron Lennon back in the Premier League. But there's some decent enough players in there. And there's some characters in there as well, which I think is kind of what Burnley need. They need some big players. So could be one.
Well, I think he is coming in as a bit of a big player, a bit of a big name. I mean, signing from Lyon to Burnley is something we don't see too much. I mean, remember they signed Defoe a few years ago, and that was quite a big move for them. So I think Cornet is coming in to bring some quality into the side.
Yeah.
And that does seem to be the way Burnley are going a little bit more now, is they're trying to play a bit more. And, you know, we saw it particularly the end of last season.
We tried to do it against us.
Yeah. So I do wonder if there's going to be a slight switch in style with players like him coming in. So, yeah, interesting to see how they get on. Right, next up, Chelsea.
Oh, big spenders.
Well, big spenders,
but also
very, very big incomers. I mean, they took in £110 million this transfer window,
isn't it?
And spent 108. So they were actually, even though they spent 100 odd million on Lukaku, they were positive net for transfer spent. So they bought in Lukaku, they signed Sol yesterday, Better Call Sol, and a big transfer of Marcus Bettinelli from Fulham as a fifth-choice goalkeeper, probably. But then you look at the outgoings. I mean, Tammy Abraham left for Roma for £36 million. Kurt Zouma to West Ham, £31 million. Tomori, AC Milan, £26 million. Zappa Costa, they got £8 million for him. Victor Moses left for £4 million. They recouped all of this money, you know, that they put
it's
into
the It's not just
Lukaku.
That, though. It's the wage bill as well. Yeah. Like, they've got all these guys off the wage bill. I think sometimes you forget with Chelsea, because they have so many players out on loan all the time, you forget how many players the club actually has. Mm. So for them to be able to go out and buy really quality players like they have, but actually have spent no money because they've sold out so many, is unbelievable business from Chelsea this summer.
I think so. And you look at the players that they've got rid of, and none of them would have been anywhere near the first team. I mean,
no.
Tammy Abraham leaving for £36 million. I rate Tammy Abraham, but obviously he's not getting in the team ahead of Lukaku. They got rid of, you know, Giroud as well, you know, cleared him off the wage bill. Bakayoko, who was probably a big mistake, I think a lot of Chelsea fans would say he's been absolutely hopeless for them. Danny Drinkwater's left as well, an even bigger mistake. But Emerson, Batshuayi, like you say, these are all players on enormous wages that they've managed to clear off the decks. So it's hard to give them anything other than a 9 out of 10. I'm almost half tempted to give them a 10 out of 10, because they've literally addressed, I can't think of a weakness.
That's the key, is they had one weakness last season, and it was that they didn't score enough goals because they didn't have a proper striker who was finishing their chances. Because actually Werner doesn't really necessarily fit in that striker position. He likes to be out on the wing a bit more. And the one thing that they had a weakness for, they've gone out and signed arguably the best player they could have bought in that position for the Chelsea team and the way that Chelsea play. I can't think of any striker who would have slotted into that Chelsea team as well as Lukaku has. So they recognised where their issue was. Not only did they go and just spend the money that was needed to get Lukaku in, but they also countered that by getting rid of everybody else that they didn't need and therefore getting him for basically nothing, which is ridiculous business. I literally can't give it anything other than a 10, I don't think. It's perfect business.
And Lukaku is the perfect forward for them as well.
Perfect.
Like we've said loads of times. You look at these players they've departed, though, and like you just think, there's a mid-table premiership team here. Tomori, Zouma, you know, Emerson, Moses is a Premier League winning right back, and then Bakayoko, Giroud up front with Tammy Abraham. It's crazy when you see
quality team that's gone out, let alone what they've now done to the team that they still have.
Absolutely nuts. Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to give them a 10.
Yeah, I think you have to.
I think they've addressed every single possible problem they had. I think I'll give them a 9, actually. I think the only thing that could have made them a 10 was if they'd replaced Zuma with that that guy they were looking for. Kanude, was it?
Yeah, they'll probably come next year, won't he?
I imagine so.
Yeah.
I mean, if they stick it through at the back, I mean, they could be a bit light if they lose Christensen for an injury or something like that, but they can just switch to 4 at the back and probably not worry about it too much.
Yeah, so their quality.
Depth. So much depth.
They're going to be right up there this year. They're a force.
Yep, Crystal Palace. So big load of departures here. Incoming, nothing. Expenditure, 66 million. So in terms of incoming, they just released everyone, basically. Released 12 players and didn't sell them. All the contracts ran out. Spent 66 million on players. So out went Andrews Townsend, Van Aanholt, Sacco, Cahill, Dan, Hennessy and James McCarthy. All of those players played significant minutes for them last season.
Big names in that team as well last season.
Big names, absolutely. And they've signed younger players who, for a long-term project with Vieira.
Yeah.
Anderson, Edouard came in yesterday, Elise, really highly rated from Reading. And I missed this one, Will Hughes came in from Watford. I didn't see that. 4.5 million mid on FPL. I really like Will Hughes. I think I'm surprised that he left Watford. I thought he'd be one of those players who just kind of never left, never really.
They offered him a new contract, didn't they? And he didn't want to sign it. So that's interesting. Yeah, 8 goals in 118 appearances for him for Watford. I don't know. I think I quite like what Vieira's doing at Palace. I'm going to say that quite quietly because obviously it's not necessarily been the best start so far. But is it ever really under a brand new manager when you're starting basically totally again? Because they've got rid of so many of their key players, but also their big voices in the dressing room as well. Like to lose like the likes of Van Aanholt. Those are players that have been part of the Crystal Palace furniture for such a long time. So you are basically going, right, here's a line. Let's start again. I really like what they've done with the defence. I really like Anderson. I thought he was fantastic last season. They're doing great stuff. The Gallagher loan from Chelsea, I think that's a great bit of business from them as well. Man of the match on his debut game, then gets a brace in his next game. Like, they're doing all the right things and they're kind of buying into Vieira's planning, I suppose. So I think it's good business.
Big, big point for them, against West Ham. They needed that. They really did. Absolutely. No, I agree. I think, it's going to take Vieira time, but I think he's the manager who will be good for these players because he is a player that will put his arm around these guys and get the most out of them. And I think Edouard for 15 million from Celtic, I think that is an absolutely fantastic signing for him. I really do. I don't really know how they've managed to pull that off. Celtic are losing a striker who gets 15, 20 goals for them. And if he can deliver anywhere near like that return for Palace, then it'll be good. It is a hell of a clear out though, I have to say. I can't ever remember a team getting rid of this many players in one fell swoop. Like
particularly
this.
Releasing so many.
I know. Like to lose Cahill, Dan and Sacco, three of your main centre-backs, normally you'd keep one of them kind of around the dressing room, especially like Cahill. I thought maybe, he could be looking at becoming a coach or something like that. Maybe you just give him a contract to keep him on, but he's gone to Bournemouth and wants to play.
I don't know. I part of me does think that it was needed though at Crystal Palace. Like they had gone quite stale under Hodgson. Like, for all the good things that Hodgson did for Palace over the years that he was there, I did feel like a change was needed. And that change was both in management, but also in terms of the personnel. And sometimes you need to have that really painful rebuild, and losing key players is painful, but you bring in decent players who are good for now, but also they're young enough to be good for the future too. And that can only be a good thing.
Yep. Completely agree. What are you giving them? What's your rating?
Seven and a half.
I'll give them a 7. A bit lower.
That's fair enough.
It is Palace after all. Everton. This is a weird one. Given how much money they've spent over the last few seasons, Benitez has come in and they have massively tightened the purse strings. So they took 7 million from players and they spent 1.8 million on Damari Gray. The rest were free transfers. So they got Townsend for free, got Asmir Begovic as backup. They got Salomon Rondon as on a free transfer from China. Didn't even know he was in China. I mean, 1.8 million for anyone is a bargain. 1.8 million for a 25-year-old English player who has definitely got potential in him. It's one of the bargains of the decade, I think. 1.8 million for Gray is crazy, crazy business, I think. And he started well.
I like it. I think he's exactly the sort of player that Dominic Calvert-Lewin wants around him as well. So not only is it cheap and a good bit of business, but it's a good bit of business for the Everton star players that need that player around them. Him and Townsend, I think, particularly as Townsend was free, like, could you really ask for more than what you've got for next to no money? Like, it's good business, I think.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me that they haven't gone out there and done a really big star signing. Mm. Just because with Benitez coming and the kind of slightly negative reaction that came with him, I did wonder whether they might go all in for a big star name just as a kind of like sweetener, yeah, if you like, to the Toffees fans. But I don't really think they needed it. There are enough already in that team that they probably didn't need it. But I sort of was expecting somebody a bit more than Rondon yesterday.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It's hard to know kind of exactly what they need, because I look at their team and think their team is decent. I mean, Decore and Allen in midfield. I mean, Rodriguez is great, but I don't think he's ever going to play for Everton again. I think I'm surprised that he stayed on. I thought they'd do anything.
I'm surprised he didn't leave
to offload him. They might be a bit short of right back with Coleman there. You know, he's had a bit of an injury, a few injury problems, but they've got the likes of Holgate who can fill in. Godfrey as well could play there. And then centre-backs are pretty strong. They're kind of strong, but not really. I don't think they're really like top six contenders, really. Maybe they could sneak in, but I don't know. I think there's better teams. The amount of money they've spent over the last few seasons, I don't think they're like one of the top teams in the league. They're a decent side who'll probably finish about 7th or 8th would be my guess. Mm. I mean, I'm not overly impressed by their transfer market, but I'm impressed with Gray. I'll give him a 5.
I don't know if that's a bit harsh, you know.
Really, because, I thought it was a bit high.
Because they haven't, but they've improved their squad without spending any money. So from that perspective, I think I'd probably be tempted to put them alongside Brentford and give them a 6.
Give them a 6. Interesting.
They're not spent anything, and they've got somebody in that's improved their team. So,
yeah, fair enough. I just don't know what the real sort of plan is with Benitez coming in. Like, what is his?
No, I know what you mean by
like,
that.
What is his mandate? Is his mandate to take them into the Champions League? Because that was always Ken Wright's kind of main aim, right? Was to get them into the top four.
But now, I don't think they've got a top four squad there.
No way. They're miles off. They're miles behind.
They've got a top 10 squad there.
Yeah.
Have they got a top 7 squad there? I don't think so. When you look at what everyone else has done, like the top four feels like it's closing in terms of there's a lot of other teams that have done quite good business that will be fighting for top four this year. And then you've got obviously the two Europa League spots and then the conference spot. I can't see him breaking those spots, not with the squad that they have.
No. That's it. That's what I mean.
Maybe I'm being hard. But...
well, I think they've got a decent enough squad, but didn't exactly do that great last year under Ancelotti. And surely the aim is to improve on that. And then they haven't bought anyone. So,
yeah
I don't know. I think it's hard to judge them because I think this is kind of what they wanted. I think they just want a kind of like a solidifying year where they bring in, you know,
it's the beginning, right? It's the beginning of a rebuild.
Exactly. I think so. I think that's exactly what it is. We might stop seeing such lavish spending from them, I think, like we've done in the past. Leeds next. So Leeds, 13 departures, no money, didn't make any money, spent £53 million. So these were one of the teams that spent over 50 million. Half of that was on Dan James yesterday from Man United, 26 million they spent on him. Firpo came in from Barcelona, 13.5. Finally, they bought Jack Harrison, 2 years on loan, 11 million, bargain for him, I think. And Clayson, a kind of reserve goalkeeper. Yeah, interesting. 26 million for Dan James. What do you reckon on him?
A lot of money in a position where I don't know that they were that weak. in the first place, because he, I mean, he can play on either side, right? So he's either competition for Harrison or Rafinha, but those are both quality players. So I don't know. I think it's a good move for Dan James, because he was going to be much more limited at Manchester United now, surely. Mm. So I think for him, it's a positive thing. I think he does strengthen the Leeds attack, and he will give much needed competition maybe to those players, but it is quite a lot of money. It's more than I thought that they would get, they would pay for him.
Yeah, I think United have made a profit on him, which is quite rare for them, given the current transfer dealings. I think there's talk that James could come in on the right wing, and Rafinha could maybe move a bit more central as well, or he could serve as like competition and Harrison get a rest, because he can play on either side as well, James.
He can,
He's a versatile player. 26 million to me is a lot. I haven't seen enough from him. I mean, he was poor in the last game he played for Man U.
He was.
Against Wolves. He's got that kind of like running like a headless chicken vibe about him without
I think Bielsa will be a good manager for him though. Mm. I think in a way that he's quite harsh when he needs to be. And I think he'll be good for James's development. I can see that would work well together.
Yeah. Firpo's highly rated, come from Barcelona. Haven't seen too much of him yet. Jack Harrison obviously has been great for them, so it's good that they finally got that over the line. What do you reckon? What do you reckon on Leeds? It's hard because he's got this really settled side, right? So it's going to be hard for them to find players that kind of break into it. But he has strengthened, for sure. Yeah.
Firpo, signing Harrison permanently, I think those two are really good signings. So on those two alone, I think I'd give him a 7. I think Dan James has potential. Let's just see how they use him. Is he there as competition, or is he there to play alongside the likes of Rafinha and Harrison? Because if he's going to play with them and play better than he was playing for Manchester United, then that could be also a really good signing. So, 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10. Do you think Dan James could be a factor in our fantasy teams at any point this season?
Maybe. I think you would. It's very hard to overlook Rafinha and Harrison if you're going to go Leeds in the attack, because we know exactly what they can do and have done already in FPL, whereas with Dan James, we haven't really seen that from him yet in terms of FPL return. So it might be a wait and see, but it could be that if he starts regularly and picks up his game and plays the Leeds way, that actually he might be a good option later on.
Yeah, he's 6 million in the game. It's the same price as Harrison, for example. Be interesting to see if he comes straight into the team and Rafinha does move, or whether he takes a bit of time to settle in. I imagine he'll take a bit of time to settle in, because Bielsa's quite demanding, isn't he, with these players. And Firpo hasn't come straight in, for example, but he's starting to get a few minutes now. I'll give him a 6.5 out of 10. I think keeping Harrison was kind of obvious. So they've only really signed Firpo and James, and I'm not that enamoured by James, so I'll give him a little bit less. Leicester next. So Leicester have spent a hell of a lot of money. They spent £60 million on players. They've taken in 3.6, giving them a total net spend of £57 million in the red. Patson Daka was the main outlay of them. Centre forward, 22 years old, from RB Salzburg. They bought Samore from Lille, £18 million, and they bought Vestergaard for £15 million. And they got Bertrand and Lookman on free transfer and a loan, respectively. Not started the season particularly well, though, despite winning the cup. I mean, they have started the season quite well in terms of points, but I think they got, six out of nine. But performances have been rubbish in all three games, just about over the line against Wolves, battered by West Ham. And then not too inspiring against Norwich either.
No. It's been an interesting start to the season, hasn't it, really, for them? Because I had quite high expectations of Leicester going into this season. I thought that at the end of last season, they're never great at the end of the season. They always seem to fluff their lines just at the death when they're about to qualify for the Champions League, don't they? Mm. But last season, I thought they had a really good period of time, and it happened to coincide with the part where Harvey Barnes was injured, and they obviously had Nacho and Vardy playing up top together, and everything seemed to be kind of going well for Leicester at that point. The start of the season, I think Rodgers made a comment in pre-season about how Harvey Barnes wasn't fully ready yet and he wasn't fully matched.
Yeah, I wish I'd listened to that.
Yeah, and he said that, and it put me off, to be honest, because I did listen to it, and he was one that I'd been toying with the idea of for weeks in pre-season, and I was like, I don't like the sound of that, because even if he gets game time, how on it is he going to be? And what we've seen is he's just not on it at all. And I do think that his position is really key in that Leicester side, because if he's playing and he's on it, everything moves better. I think there's obviously a lot of chatter about Maddison, and would Maddison be staying or would Maddison be going? And that's unsettling. But because they were playing Barnes and obviously had this Maddison rhetoric going in the background, that meant they weren't really playing Iheanacho at all. And I thought they missed him in this early part of the season. So, yeah, it's been a poor start to the season for them. In terms of the transfer window, Dakar, I think, will be a good signing. I do think he will be a good signing for them. But it feels to me like he's a long-term Vardy replacement as opposed to a, I'm here to regularly start now.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, he got 54 goals in 82.
Yeah.
And, you know, but we're talking in the Austrian league. We're not, you know, it says Bundesliga on the screen, but we're not talking about in Germany. We're talking about in Austria. So it's a little bit less impressive. I mean, £27 million for a player from the Austrian league is a lot of money.
It is.
He's coming into a side where the majority of the time they play with one striker, which is Vardy. And that's why Iheanacho is finding it hard to kind of break into the team now. So you've got to think, like exactly like you say, he is one for the future. I wondered if maybe he would have gone out on loan or something. I wonder how much game time he's really going to see this season, unless they switch to three centre-backs. And have
they've also got again. They've got the Europa League stuff this season. Now, Vardy at 34 now, I cannot believe that he's going to be able to play two games a week for a large chunk of the season. So surely there's going to be minutes for the likes of Iheanacho and Dakar in other competitions. Maybe one of them's going to be the Europa League guy. Maybe one of them's going to be involved in the Cups. I just can't see that Vardy's got 40, 50 games a season in him. I can't see that he will. So, and also, you know, maybe actually what we're seeing in this early part of the season is that they are better with two up top. And maybe that's why Dakar's come in now, because Leicester were at their best last season, arguably, when Vardy and Iheanacho were playing together. So then they don't have a backup on the bench. And with Barnes out last season as well, that would have left them short. So maybe that's another reason behind it. It allows them to change their strategy, I suppose.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think he's got different systems, right? And the defensive injuries they've had haven't helped, because I think we might have seen more from the wing-back, you know, strategy and tactics if they didn't have like one sort of starting centre-back. I mean, Evans is out. Fofana got that injury. They brought Vestergaard in, but he hasn't been fully fit. I mean, the thing with Barnes is not only has he been poor, but what happens if they do switch to two forwards?
He's gone, surely.
Where does he play? I just can't see a way in which they can make it work, unless he switches to left wing-back. But then you're potentially taking out Castagna out of that, who's been fantastic for them for the last two seasons. And he's not a wing-back. He's a direct attacking winger. So where does he play? I don't know. I wish I hadn't started with Barnes. I did get rid of him, but he was, you know, those kind of comments from a manager, I just disregarded it. I was like, oh, he's just saying that to ease expectation. But that, along with the potential rotation with these forwards, is a massive problem. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, obviously Leicester spent quite a lot of money, 57 million. They've strengthened, for sure. How would you rate him?
I find this one really difficult to rate, because, yes, they've strengthened, but have they actually strengthened their starting 11?
Well, no, I don't think...
Strengthened the squad.
With a fully fit squad, I don't think any of these players, any of the players on the screen, get into the first team.
So there's a lot of money been spent, but I'm not sure any of them actually improve the team that Rodgers puts out week upon week. And that's where I struggle to rate this, because I think Dakar is a signing for the future, and I do think he's a decent signing for the future. But as a transfer window going into 2021-22, it's average for me at best, and I'd probably give it a 5.
Yeah, I might up into a 6. I quite like the Lookman transfer. I think that was a bit quite shrewd on Deadline Day, because obviously Perez got the red card, and I don't really rate him that highly anyway. And I think Lookman just gives them that ability to change between those two tactics and formations. Whereas if they didn't have him, they would be relying on Perez more to play. So at least Lookman puts a bit of competition on that right hand side with Albrighton as well. If they get an injury to Ndidi or someone, then Soumaré can come in. I agree. It's not that inspiring. I think Vestergaard, though, is for 15 million.
Decent. Yeah, it's decent. That is
to get an established Premier League central defender for 15 million, And, you know, take him away from Southampton, who wouldn't have wanted to sell him at all for that price. I mean, compare that to Ben White, for example, for 50 million to 15. I mean, Vestergaard's, you could argue...
That's Arsenal for you, though.
Is a better signing than White for a third of the price.
Yeah. You are right from that perspective. I think Vestergaard is... And they are lacking in that position because of injury. So, yeah, maybe I'm being a bit unkind with the five. Maybe they deserve a six.
I'll give them a six. Yeah, you can stick to your five. I'll give them a six. It's okay. This will be a quick one. Liverpool.
Tumbleweed.
Yeah, absolutely. 24 million taken in, 36 million spent, all on one player. Which is Konate from Leipzig, who's the guy they wanted. They've got rid of Wilson. They've got rid of Shaqiri. Got rid of Wijnaldum. Oh, I don't like that at all on a free transfer. Didn't want to give him a contract because he's 31, coming to 31. They've got the opposite of Leicester. They are arguably a weaker side now than they were. I mean, they have signed a centre-back, which they needed, but you could say, you know, with Gomez there, with Phillips, they already had some options. I don't like their transfer window at all. I think considering how Chelsea, United and City have strengthened, I think they needed one or two players. Losing Wijnaldum to me cannot be understated. He's been such a driving force for all their successes over the last few years. What do you make of it all?
Well, obviously Liverpool window gets talked about quite a lot in our household because of Lee's loyalties. Wijnaldum, I think, is a big loss. I really do think he's a big loss. I think the fact that they were at limit in terms of their non-English players, that's a problem. Like, they needed to clear some backlog. They need to bring in some English players so that they've got the quota that they need. But you're right. They are, when you look across what the rest of the top four contenders have done, not just the big players, not just Manchester United, City and Chelsea, when you look at what the teams slightly below that have done in the window, everybody else has done something which has strengthened their team. And if they've lost a big name, they've replaced them with somebody else. But Liverpool just haven't. And not only have they not, the other big players in that engine room are getting older. You know, you look at Henderson, you look at Milner, the players that, you know, Klopp might be now reliant on without Wijnaldum there. That's a problem to me because those players they can get injured at the drop of a hat. And we saw last season what happens when you lose those key guys in the middle for Liverpool. It all falls apart.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, we talk about squad depth with like Leicester and with other teams, and you look at the benches of some of these sides, and you look at the bench of Liverpool, and you just think, is this really a team that can challenge on all fronts when you consider the levels that other teams have got? It's a tricky one. I mean, first 11, don't get me wrong, is you know, arguably best in the league, but you know, they get a couple of injuries, they're going to be losing Salah and Mane. I mean, I was sure they were going to have to sign a kind of a versatile winger to cover for when they go to the African Cup of Nations, but they haven't done that either.
No.
Yeah, really interesting what they've done. I mean, there is a, you know, the owners are quite public when they say we basically don't spend money. Like, we don't spend our own money. Everything that comes through the club has to be financed through the purchasing and selling of players, which is why, you know, they sold Coutinho a few years ago and they've been kind of living off that revenue for ages to strengthen the side.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I was fully expecting them to sell Mane this summer.
Really?
I just didn't think that... I thought that towards the end of last season, Mane looked like a player that had achieved everything he wanted to achieve at Liverpool and looked like a player that just wasn't really there anymore. Like, sometimes you look at them and you think, is your head... are you really there? Like, he didn't have a very good season last year. And I was thinking, you know, with the African Cup of Nations stuff that's happening this season as well, could it be the right moment for Liverpool, knowing what they like in terms of budget and how they finance the squad? Could this be the moment where they sell him and use that money to strengthen in other areas of the pitch where they arguably need it more? Because obviously with Salah and Jota and Firmino, they don't necessarily need the four of those guys. But there are other parts of the pitch that they maybe do. So I think they've had a disappointing... I think if you're a Liverpool fan, I'd look at that window and think, I'm not surprised that it's been what it has, but I'm disappointed because I'm looking at what the rivals have done and everyone else has grown stronger and we've stood still, if not gone a little bit backwards because of Ginny.
Yep, I completely agree. How would you rate him?
Three?
Yeah. I think it's arguably the worst in the.
It's worse than Arsenal, but just it's like.
Well,
it's,
at least Arsenal have improved their squad.
They've improved the squad. They have improved the squad. So I don't, you know, they've spent a hell of a lot of money doing it, and they have improved the squad. Whereas Liverpool have spent no money, but the squad's weaker as a result, and that's really difficult.
Yeah, I'm tempted to give them a two. To be fair, I'm only not giving them a two because they're getting players back who, you know, are going to be vital for them. So I think, you know, getting the centre backs they're getting back and getting Van Dijk back fit and stuff means they haven't really had to do too much there. And you could argue that actually the one area that which they kind of had quite a few good options for now is centre back with Gomez and Phillips and Van Dijk, and they bought another centre back. I just think they really needed to buy another central midfielder, especially with losing Shaqiri and Wijnaldum. I just think they're weak. And like I said, on the wings, I mean, I'm really surprised they didn't put in a little cheeky bid for Sar. And just try and test the resolve of Watford, 35 million, something like that, and just try and get him.
It's to do with their English pair quota, wasn't it?
Right.
They were at their limit, so they had to sell. So obviously, with the new guy coming in, they had to sell some in order for that to be okay, because they had like Minamino coming back off loan and that sort of thing. So I think their English quota was really difficult.
Well, I mean, Bowen, for example, would have been a.
That's why I'm surprised they didn't go Bowen.
Yeah, would have been a great first player.
I'm really surprised that they didn't go in for Bowen, because they were linked with him. He would have been the perfect option for them, because it would have done what they needed in terms of the English quota, and he would have strengthened the team.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, good start to the season for Liverpool. Harvey Elliott looks a good player. I just think they're gonna fall behind a bit when the Champions League starts and they're fighting on all these different fronts. But we will see. Man City are next. Took in £34 million, so. Did generate quite a bit of money. Who did they got rid of? They got rid of Angelino for $16 million, Jack Harrison for $11 million, Enimcha to Wolfsburg for $7 million. So again, you know, these big clubs, I mean, they've taken in £35 million of players, and players that were fifth choice, sixth choice. No, you know, $16 million for Angelino. I mean, there's no way Angelino's breaking into that City side. $11 million for Jack Harrison. They can just generate cash, can't they? These big sides,
like
you kind of mentioned. Only one sort of major signing. We could talk about Harry Kane, all the things with that, or Ronaldo, but we won't bother. But Jack Grealish for $100 million. How do you rate him so far?
Grealish is a great signing for them. Did they really need Jack Grealish? Maybe not. They have so many really good creative players in that similar sort of role to what Grealish does. But I do think Grealish has improved Man City, even in the opening three game weeks of the season, where he clearly isn't yet up to full Man City speed in terms of knowing where his teammates are. But he's making all the right runs and being in all the right places. The big question for me is that they haven't signed a striker, and that is the position that they were really lacking. They were lacking it last season, and they've gone into this season arguably still lacking it. Now, for us, from an FPL perspective, it does look like, therefore, Torres is going to be a great option. But is that really the sort of player they want to rely on all season? Like you say, with Liverpool, once the Champions League starts, once they're fighting on multiple different fronts, how much time is Torres going to be able to, and how many goals would he contribute to the team over the course of the year? I think it will be very disappointing to Man City that they have got out of this transfer window without a striker.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think about Grealish from a fantasy perspective? I've got him in my team.
I had this conversation with Lee the other night, because I like, every time I watch him, I like him. He will return FPL points. But for a million, yes, or just under a million, yeah, less now, you can have Torres, who's likely to return more because of the positions that he's going to be in. So I've seen Grealish doing a lot of assisting of the assists lately, which would frustrate me a lot. And although I think he will be more, he'll be in the team more than he's rotated, because that's always one thing we look for with Pep, of course. But I think Torres for a million, just under a million less, looks better value.
Yeah, what I like about Grealish, from what I'm seeing, is he sometimes looks a little bit lost, like he's not fully in the system. But the flip side of that, he does look like he's getting into some quite advanced positions.
Definitely.
So there's two or three times when the ball came in the Arsenal game, and he was kind of standing just behind Torres or just behind, but like, you know, right in the, like, nearly on the line at times. So he has definitely been tasked with getting forward. I think what I really like about the Grealish signing is that, other than Mahrez, really, they haven't really got too many players that can like really beat a man and just dribble the ball and just take it past. Like, they've got some really clever passes of the ball and stuff. Mm. But in terms of like these pure take-ons, Grealish is one of the best, I think, in world football of doing that. So
he'll also win a lot of free kicks, which when KDB's back will be ideal for them.
Absolutely, because he gets the ball and he drives, and the only way to stop him a lot of the time is just to hack him down. And you see it happening week on week. He's the most foul player in the Premier League last season, and in the Euros, I think he was as well, and he barely played. So yeah, I really like that kind of that element, and I think he's fantastic for them. But I agree, I'm amazed they didn't get a striker, and they're going to be relying on false nines again. But I guess that's kind of just what Pep likes to see. So how would you rate? I mean, you're basically rating the sign of Jack Grealish here. How would you rate their transfer window? Well, and the fact they didn't get a striker.
I think this is a difficult one, because I think the signing of Jack Grealish is good, but the fact they haven't got a striker brings it right back down again. So I think Grealish, you could arguably say that's a 9 out of 10 signing. The fact they haven't got a striker, which is what they really needed, probably brings them back down to sort of an 8 for me.
An 8 is quite high still.
I just think Grealish is really good.
He is really good.
I think the signing of Grealish is really good. It has strengthened them, and he has made a big difference already. And I think when KDB's back, he'll make an even bigger difference because of winning free kicks and that kind of stuff. But you can't go higher than... I would have given it a 9. If they hadn't have been in for a striker at all and hadn't tried to sign one and failed, I probably would have said just getting Grealish is a 9 out of 10. But because of where we are and because they have failed to sign the one player that they really needed, you've got to bring it down a bit.
I think the funniest thing is they've actually lost a striker this window in Jesus, because he's gone over to the right wing.
And Aguero.
Aguero's gone. So you think, okay, the backup striker's going to step up. Oh, no, wait, no, he wants to be a winger now. So now we literally don't have anyone. They've got Rory Delap's son, and that's about it.
It's the fact that they've not only has Hazy said, I don't want to be a striker on a player on the wing. Pep hasn't even seemingly tried to stop him from playing out on the wing. Know. He's just gone, all right, then you play on the wing.
You do what you want. And he's done really well there. So it's kind of hard to fault it. I'll give him a 7. I think they needed to get a striker just to convert some of these chances. But I guess they're just all in on the Haaland basket now.
God. I tell you what, the next summer surely is going to be. I was really surprised they didn't go in for Lewandowski at the end, at the death. Really surprised, given that I know it's 100 million. That's what they said they wanted for him. But I thought when they lost Kane and then apparently lost Ronaldo, I thought surely they're going in on Lewandowski. Surely. Don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah. I think it's all about Haaland. Haaland fits the transfer policy of that club to the T. You know, young player, you know, they want to get as many years out of him as possible. They're going to have competition from other sides, but it's a pretty attractive
That's it. Will he go there? Because Man United are surely going to want him as well. Chelsea have already sniffed about, although I don't know if they will next summer because they've got Lukaku now. There's going to be a lot of big clubs in for Haaland next summer.
It's who can afford him, really. I mean, Madrid are almost certainly going to get Mbappe, you know, for free now that they've turned down that thing. So he's not going to go to Real Madrid, you wouldn't have thought. PSG, I mean, possibly if Mbappe goes, he could be the one that they go for. I mean, Pep's leaving, isn't he? He's said he's going to leave when his contract ends. So if
they're 23, right?
Yeah. So if Haaland's, you know, wants to join a long-term project with Pep, he's not going to get that because he's going to be gone in a couple of years.
Yeah.
So it's not a guarantee that he's going to sign for them. But yeah, interesting. I'll give him a 7 for their transfer window dealings. I absolutely love Jack Grealish, but
I do too.
Yeah, I think they definitely need a striker. United, big spenders, took in 26 million, spent 126 million pounds.
Ooh.
I know. Second to Arsenal on the net, under 100 million spent, but 99.81, not far off. FIFA signings, I've described this as. It's like when you start a career mode on FIFA and you just buy a load of players who you want. Sancho came in, 76 million. Varane, 36 million. Ronaldo from Juventus, 13.5. Oh, and Tom Heaton came in on a free transfer. Remember Tom Heaton? Do you remember how good he was for Burnley in our FPL teams a few years ago?
Again, this is another random one, though, isn't it? That's another English name on this team sheet, isn't it? Like, that's what that is about. This is the total opposite of Arsenal splashing the cash this window, because even if they'd have come out of this just having signed Sancho and Varane and Heaton, you'd have been like, that's a good window for United. To then be offered Ronaldo at the death and go all in for him, I love it. Like, I love the romanticness of a player returning to a club. It was the same with Bale last season.
Henri as well, when he came back and scored. There's something about it, isn't there?
Something, even as a non-Man United fan, I love it. Like, I'm here for it. I think it's a great window for them. I think on paper it is anyway. Like, whether Ronaldo comes back and is all things to all men again, in the same way that he was last time he was there. Let's see, he's a lot older now. Can he keep up with the pace of the Premier League? But he's not a midfielder anymore. He's a forward, so that'll help. Varane, I think, has got real potential, but didn't play a lot of games over the last few seasons. So can he keep up with the level of matches that Manchester United are going to have this season? But then again, they do have plenty of other players to play and rotate around. So I think it's a good window.
It's a fantastic window. I mean, the main weakness they didn't address was a sort of defensive mid, centre mid. I mean, McTominay's injured now, and Fred isn't up to it.
No.
I think everyone knows that Fred is not up to it. You know, they're putting Pogba back at centre mid now, and he's not really. I mean, a midfield two of Pogba and Fred just isn't. It's not secure enough. There's too many worries about them. So that is something they need to address probably next year. But they've just got so much attacking talent now. I mean, you know, and these are players they needed. They needed a decent centre forward, they needed a right winger, and they needed a centre back. So they have, not only are they three great players, but they were weaknesses they've addressed that have come in. So you talk about being the opposite of Arsenal's window, and I completely agree. You spent about the same money, not only addressed the weaknesses they've got with first team players to come in, but, you know, sole weaknesses that they had. So yeah, I think it's absolutely fantastic. Sancho's a really interesting one. And I do wonder if as the season progresses, we're going to see more people going to him. I mean, Ronaldo's, you know, 12.5 million on FPL, so he's going to have to deliver sort of week in, week out. Fernandes, we think, is probably not going to be such a good option. Do you reckon Sancho, 9.4 million, could be a factor in our season?
I think he probably will. Mm. It's just a timing factor, isn't it? And I think, you know, a lot of people are talking about selling Bruno to fund Ronaldo because of the route to points thing that we're expecting if Bruno loses penalties and set pieces. And so suddenly we might be in with a situation where, not so much now, but when the fixtures shift again for United a little bit later on in the season, we could be in with a situation where we're trying to double up with that Manchester United attack. And Sancho's price is much more helpful in being able to do that.
Yep, completely agree. Rating?
9.
I'll give them an 8, which seems a little bit harsh.
What else could they have done?
They needed a centre mid. They really did.
But then wouldn't that have been a 10 out of 10 for them? If they got their centre mid, wouldn't that have been a 10?
Yeah, it would have been a 10 out of 10. Yeah. So maybe 8 is a bit harsh. I'll stick with it. I think it is a great win for them. And there's a lot of pressure now on Solskjaer to deliver, because he's now got a team of superstars and they're not going to settle for, you know, no trophies and second, third place. He's got to win the league. I think he's got to win the league with the team he's got. It's you know,
he's got to certainly try, hasn't he?
They've got to put up a hell of a fight. They've got to get close. I think he should be aiming to win the league with
I think it's between them and Chelsea this year.
You think City are going to fall beyond? What, because of the lack of striker?
Yeah, because I think you look at where the stars are across the Manchester United and Chelsea team, and there isn't. I know we just talked about that central mid, but the players that are really key in terms of goal scoring, Chelsea and Man United have that in abundance. City, there isn't that one person that's guaranteed to get you 20 goals a season. They spread the wealth, of course, and there'll be goals across that team. But United have got Bruno and Ronaldo, and Chelsea have got Lukaku, and Man City have got Torres. Like, it's, I don't know, just, I think they'll be behind this year.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Solskjaer, but I think now, given the players, I think he might get found out a little bit. I think he's done great. I think he's stabilised the club. He's saved them from, you know, probably a mid-table finish or a couple of mid-table finishes or something, and rebuilt the side amazingly well and stuff. I think if United had Tuchel or Klopp or Pep, they'd win it. They'd win the league this year. I think under Solskjaer, they won't. I think they'll come second or even third.
This means we're putting Liverpool like fourth at this rate.
Yeah, I know. I think it's between City and Chelsea for the title. And then it's between Liverpool and United for third. And I think everyone else is just so far off now, those four. I think it's the biggest gap we're going to see from fourth to fifth that we're going to see in years.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. How you doing? You all right? We're an hour in. We've got 7 more to go. Feeling good?
Come on. Let's soldier on.
Let's smash through it.
Where are we now? Newcastle?
Newcastle, yes, it'll be a quick one. One signing for Newcastle, 26 million, Joe Willock. And then they've got rid of a load of squad players. Atsu, Muto, Jake Turner, Longstaff has gone on loan, which I think is probably quite a good move so we can play. Andy Carroll's released, not even got a club at the moment. And Lejeune, I was surprised to see Lejeune go because they haven't exactly got loads of like good quality centre-backs. And I always thought he was kind of all right. So the fact he's gone, we think on a free transfer, I was a little bit surprised with. But yeah,
Newcastle.
I mean, Ashley just didn't want to spend it. I mean, I'm amazed they got Willock for 26 million.
I mean, the reality is he wants to sell the club, so he's not really looking to invest in players. I think the Willock signing is good. That's the one thing I will say about this. I do rate Willock. He did make a big impact for them on loan last time around. They just need that club to be under new ownership, and then I think it would be fine. But as a window on itself, it's just a bit meh, isn't it?
I think that's probably the perfect way to describe it. And I think everyone expected it. I don't think there was much surprise that Ashley didn't spend loads of money. I think they'll be happy with Willock coming in.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they'll be all right in the league.
They'll be fine. They'll be fine, and that's all that will ever happen. They'll just be fine.
Yeah. What do you reckon then?
Five and a half.
I'll give them a four.
What, the same as Arsenal?
Well, yeah, I mean, Willock's a decent signing, but you could argue that they need a new, I don't know.
They need a lot of things.
They need new central midfielder, new defender, they need left back, right back, goal. You know, they could strengthen the entire squad if they wanted to. Apart from,
and I think they will, but they will, won't they? When somebody who owns the club wants to invest, yeah. So that's the key. I think with Newcastle, it's not that they can't invest or can't attract the right players. It's just that they don't want to spend the money at the moment. So with Willock coming in for what he did, I think that's just, it's fine.
Yeah. It's fine. That's
get through the year.
That's what it is about, I think, with Ashley, isn't it? Let's just get through this year. Let's not get relegated. Maybe if they did get relegated, he'd go. So maybe there's a few Newcastle fans, I mean, they do, but I think they'll probably survive. Norwich next. So they got quite a bit of money in. I mean, they had 24 players leave the club overall, which is a lot. Only made 34 million, but that came from one player, essentially, which was the Buendia sale. Spent 59 million. On players, so invested that money and spent another 25. Rashika came in from Bremen. Zolis came in for 9 million. Josh Sargent from Bremen, so two signings from Bremen for 9 million. Ben Gibson from Burnley, 8 million. I'm not even going to try. Dimitrios Ginelulis, 6.75. I mean, they've Angus Gunn, goalkeeper from Southampton, 5.27. They've got Kabak on loan. They've made Billy Gilmore came in, Brandon Williams. Oh, the list goes on and on and on. You can't say they haven't, you know, signed some players to give this a real go this time. And I definitely get the sense, when they sold Buendia, I thought this is going to be another Norwich giving up before the season's even started. The signings they've made, though, makes me think they are going to give this a real go this year.
I thought we were going to see a disastrous season from Norwich when I heard that Buendia had gone to Aston Villa. I honestly thought they would really struggle with goals, with just everything. But then actually the way that the summer's gone, they've signed some decent players because obviously they've lost Buendia. Ollie Skip's come back to Spurs, two of their really big, important players from last season. And I thought suddenly you've lost the guy that's protecting the back line and you've lost the guy that's being all creative across the attack. So what are you going to do? But 10 permanent signings, 4 loan deals. You can't say that they've not gone out there and tried to stay in the division. They definitely have. Yep. They've tried to backfill the positions. I really like Rashika. We went down there to watch them on the opening day against Liverpool. He impressed me so much. It's a game against Liverpool, right? So it's never going to be the easiest fixture in the world, but he was so attacking. He was in all the right places. He put in 10 balls, but of those balls he put in, hardly any of them actually made it to Pukki because they just weren't looking for each other yet because it was new, right? And over the course of this season, when the fixtures changed, particularly from game week 5, and that relationship starts to be built in the same way that the Pukki Buendia relationship existed. I think they've got enough there with the strengthening that they've done with getting Skip replaced by Gilmore, with bringing in Williams on loan. They're doing the right things to protect the team and to protect their place in the Premier League. Whether it's enough remains to be seen, but this window is a very good start.
Mm. They've strengthened every area pretty much.
They have. I mean,
goalkeeper, left back, centre backs, midfield, you know, forward, you know, a substitute for Pukki. They've right and left wingers, paid 10 million for both sides. So yeah, they really have strengthened. I really like Brandon Williams. I really like Billy Gilmore. Mm-hmm. I think they're getting, you know, players. I mean, Brandon Williams a few years ago had broken into the Man U side and was playing sort of fairly regularly. Billy Gilmore is someone who Chelsea fans absolutely love and rate really highly. You know, and Kabak as well was someone really highly rated that did okay for Liverpool last season. So, I mean, Kabak going from Liverpool to Norwich, I think is a hell of a coup for them. I'm gonna score them highly. I think they've signed some really good players here. Ben Gibson is a player that I like at Burnley as well. When I've seen him fill in for one of the guys, I'm gonna give him an 8.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I think this could have been a disastrous window. It could have been a disaster, but they've invested well with the money they've got.
Yeah, I think that the tricky thing is going to be gelling in these players, like you say, getting them, because they can't spend half a season, you know, misfiring and not working well together. He needs to get them working as a unit quickly if they're going to pick up points. And like you mentioned, the fixtures turn really nicely for Norwich soon, and they need to pick up points in those games or they're going to be in trouble. So they need to get things sorted quickly. Southampton. Okay, so there's a bit of flack on the chat saying, oh, Southampton had the best net positive. Not according to Transfer Market. They took in 57 million, but spent 38 million. So they had a net of 18.95. So just under Villa's 19. Just under. But yeah, Adam Armstrong came in for nearly 16 million. Parul came in for 10 million. Lianco Livramento, my boy from Chelsea, 5.3. He's looking great already. And they got rid of, like they always do at Southampton, you know, revolving door comes around. Danny Ings left for 31 million. Vestergaard left. We talked about Guns left. Lamina's left. Bertrand, Hote, all these guys. And in case you missed it, deadline day move of our 4.5 million forward, Michael Obafemi,
dun, dun, dun,
has gone to Swansea.
Boo.
So there are really now not many 4.5 million. I think Keenan Davis is the last man standing, pretty much. Yeah, what do you make of Southampton? They've just kind of become this side, haven't they, where they kind of have a clear out every year and bring in some new players and stuff. And I do wonder when that's going to run out for them, that luck. Well, not luck, but that strategy.
I worry, though, don't you? Like, because every year, it's like their big players go every single year. Last year, it was Højbjerg. This year, it's Ings and Vestergaard. Like, you feel like every year they've got a player or a couple of players who are really the heartbeat of the team. And then they disappear off to another Premier League side where they do really well. I think Danny Ings will do really well at Aston Villa, and I think Vestergaard at Leicester is a good move. But I worry for Southampton. I think Armstrong looks okay. He's made a decent enough start to the season. It's going to be very hard to replace Danny Ings, and he's going to have to bed in quite quickly. Livramento looks good as well. I like the flexibility he has of being able to play in midfield as well as in defence. I'm not convinced that they're a better team than they were at the end of June.
No, I would say they're almost certainly a weaker side. I think Adam Armstrong's a good player, but he's not as good as Ings.
No, exactly.
Although he might not be injured as much, so you could argue that they could get more games for him. I think losing Vestergaard was a massive blow. That's so close to the start of the season.
And they've not really replaced him with another key big figure at the back either.
No, he's a giant of a man. And he's imposing sort of figure, and yeah, they haven't replaced that.
And I think, you know, with Danny Ings in your team, you've always got the hope, because he's that kind of player, just poach a goal from nothing. By losing him, the message isn't ideal to the rest of the squad.
And losing Obafemi on the final day to Swansea as well. I mean, he's a quick player, you know, he's got lots of talent. He can come off the bench and get something.
It's weird, that one, isn't it? Because it's basically leaving them with Armstrong and Adams. And Adams hasn't been that great over the last few seasons. He's been okay, but he's not been brilliant. So to lose Danny Ings' goals and then to leave themselves with just these two strikers feels a bit odd to me.
And Adam Armstrong he's done well in the Championship, but he's
not Premier League proven.
Unproven in the Premier League. Mm. Yeah, I think it's a big gamble. I'd have kept him. Maybe there was something going on, and he was desperate to leave, or toys out the pram and all that, but it does seem like a strange move to give him on deadline day. Okay, what are you going to give him then? I mean, you know, made 19 million. This is the thing. They always manage to turn a profit every transfer window. But in terms of ins and outs, what are you saying?
4.5.
I'm tempted to give them a little bit higher than that. I like Livramento for 5 million, and I do like Adam Armstrong.
I just think they're a worse team now than they were a few months ago. Yeah. And I don't think the players they've bought in are bad, but they've sold good players, and I'm not sure they've replaced with the same level.
You give them a 4.5.
A bit better than Arsenal.
4.5. I'll give them 5.5.
We're so generous, aren't we?
5.5. I'll give them 5.5. I do. I think Adam Armstrong will be a nuisance for quite a few teams.
I think he'll be fine. It's just he's not Danny Ings, is
he? He'll get him 10, 15 goals, I think, Adam Armstrong in the league. We'll see. Right, your boys, Spurs. £24 million came in, £60 million went out, giving Spurs a net transfer of £30.78 million. You bought Brian Gill from Sevilla. You bought Emerson Royal, with the greatest name ever, for £22 million from Barcelona. Just a fire sale at Barcelona. Anyone they could get rid of, they could, I think. Pepe Sarr, £15 million. I think he's gone straight back out on loan. Galini's coming on loan. And Christian Romero on loan. I didn't know he was on loan.
He's on loan with an obligation to buy at the end of the season. So
it's about £50 million, isn't it?
Yes. So basically, it's just delaying the inevitable spend until the end of next year.
Yep. And then you've had a clear out. So Foyth's gone. Alderweireld's gone. Sissoko went to Watford. Joe Hart, Danny Rose, Eric Lamella, Gazzaniga, Sarr. Aurier went. I didn't know Aurier had gone when I saw this list.
They terminated his contract.
Terminated his contract. Wow.
My mutual consent last night.
Yeah, I did not know that. So, yeah, Tanganga's obviously now got less, just him and Doherty, right?
Royal.
Oh, and Royal, of course. So that's right.
Yeah. So it happened when Royal signed. They terminated Aurier's contract, because I suppose we don't need 4 right backs.
So is that the end of Tanganga then, with Royal coming in?
Probably. Yeah. Whether it's happened straight away or not remains to be seen. But I mean, you don't sign a guy from Barcelona for that level of money and then play Tanganga over him.
Yeah, fair enough.
More is hacking as well, this one. So
yeah, you saw Spurs, didn't you, against Watford?
Yeah, we went to Watford game. I must admit,
Gil and Romero didn't play, did they? So you wouldn't have
Gil did. He Gil came did. On for okay. the last 10-ish minutes of the game and was good, actually. I watched him throughout the Olympics and he looked decent in that side. So I think he's a decent enough signing for the future. He's young, he's fast. I think he will fit in the Spurs style of play, but probably not going to be one that plays week upon week at this point for us. I think Royal will be. And I think FPL have added him at 5, so coming in slightly cheaper than Reguilón. So from that perspective, it might be he might be a good option. I think he got 8 goals in his time at Barcelona, so he has got potential for some attacking threat too. I actually think it's a good window for Spurs. I'm surprised to see us sign as many players as we have. It's been a painful one because we've got some very big important players that have done very well for the club that have gone out. Toby Alderweireld, Sissoko, those sorts. But it's been a clearance of the wage bill, new fresh talent coming in, and most importantly, kept Harry Kane.
Mm. Interesting. I don't think it has been a particularly good window for Spurs. I look at the players you've brought in. I mean, Romero, I haven't really seen too much of him, but he's kind of the big name centre-back you've got in.
Yeah.
Gil basically is Lamella. From what I've seen, like very left-footed,
younger
Lamella, yeah. Emerson Royal's coming in at right back. Is he a huge upgrade on Tanganga? I mean, Tanganga's had a good start to the season, right? But this is a guy from Barcelona, so you think he probably has. And that's about it. And then I look at the players you've got rid of, and you talk about Southampton. Like, do you think you're in a much stronger position now, like your squad, than you were at the end of last season?
Do I think we're in a much stronger position? I don't think we're in a weaker position. I think a lot of the players that we've got rid of off the wage bill aren't players that regularly started.
No, that's true.
They are a lot of players that were kind of taking up wages that we can use now to increase the wages of the bigger players, who obviously we're going to need to in order to keep them happy, because you know, certain people need new contracts. So by getting these guys off the wage bill, and also by changing the atmosphere. I think what we're seeing with Nuno is a total rebuild, and it's what has been really needed at Spurs for a while. He's taken out a lot of the old guard and then replaced them with talent that's coming through in the future, because actually the Spurs attacking players on the pitch, I don't really think we needed an upgrade in any of those areas. We've got some decent attacking players. Mm. We've obviously had Ollie Skip come back from a very successful loan at Norwich and has fitted into that central defensive midfield role next to Højbjerg really well. The Ramiro signing, I think, is one that's going to be really positive for us. I think that will really strengthen our defensive line. I don't know much about Royal, but we were very keen on him quite a long way, for quite a long time during this window. And I'm glad to see that went over the line yesterday, because I don't think Tanganga, as much as I like him, I don't think Tanganga is what we need if we're going to be a really solid defensive unit with attacking threat down the wings, which is what Nuno wants, because Tanganga cannot offer attacking threat down the wing. He can offer security at the back, but he can't offer the attacking threat. So I think what we've done is we've replaced the areas where we needed it. We've got rid of the players that were kind of coming to the end of their natural cycle at Spurs anyway. And it's a painful rebuild, but I don't think the team is any weaker. In fact, I think the defence is stronger as a result of it.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the age of the players you brought in. Gil's 20, Royal's 22, Pepe Sarr, highly rated, 18. Romero's 23, and you've got rid of Alderweireld, who's 32, Sissoko 32, Danny Rose 30, Lamela 29. Yeah, so Aurier's 28, for example. So yeah, you've definitely brought in younger talent. I just worry that I look at Spurs' squad, like I looked at them against the Watford game, and it's just Son and Kane are just so by far, and maybe Reguilon as well, they're just so by far the best players in that side. And
yeah,
Dele Alli and Skip in midfield. I mean, Skip's good, but is he like... I just feel like you're quite a way off where you were a few years ago, basically. You know, when you had the likes of Eriksen and Ali at peak form.
Yeah,
and
I mean, I don't disagree with that, actually, but I think we are...
For where you are now, it's...
We're at the beginning of a new cycle, and with that comes painfulness at times, because you're going to get rid of players that actually have a lot of emotional, sentimental value.
You must be used to that as a Spurs fan now, Sam.
Oh, of course. More used to this. But I am. But this time around, I'm watching what's happening and I can see why it's happening. Like, I can see the rationale behind what Nuno's doing. There appears to be a plan, and what he is publicly saying matches what you can see us doing in the window, which is something that is highly unusual for Spurs. Like, normally what Mourinho was saying and what we were doing were totally different things. That with Nuno, like, you can see what he says trying to be translated on the pitch. And he does seem to have the buy-in of these players. So these players coming in, they're young. They are the start of something for the future. So I don't see Spurs challenging this season. But if we can rebuild this season and use it as a springboard for the future, which I think this window puts us in the right place for, it's an okay window. I think we've done all right.
Three wins in three.
Top of the league.
It's got top of the league. Must be some method of the madness. Go on then. What's your rating? You're going to give them scoring quite high then.
There's no like star signing in there. There's no big name. Like last year, obviously Bale came back on loan. Like, there's none of that this year. It's very sensible. What we need, safe pair of hands. So I'm probably tempted to go 7.5.
7.5. I will give them a 6.
Fair enough.
I'm not too impressed, but yeah, the rationale you said makes sense. I think, yeah, when you look at the players who've gone, it was needed, wasn't it? These guys aren't going to be the ones to take you forward, and hopefully some of the players that you have now can do.
Yeah.
Watford. So Watford have spent by far the least of all of the promoted clubs. Mm. 13 million they took, 16 million they spent, which gives them 3 million net in the red. Their biggest signing was Imran Luzer, central midfielder from Nantes in League One. Dennis the Menace, I literally cannot stop myself. I have to call him that. From Bruges for 3 million, who's made a good start. And Sissoko's joined for 3 million. So only really three sort of major sort of transfer signings there. Danny Rose came in for free. They got Josh King on a free from Everton. Tufan for Fenerbahce. Do you reckon they've got enough? I'm sceptical.
Yeah, I am too, to be honest. I think they looked all right when I watched them live against Spurs. They looked all right. Attacking-wise, they're they've got some decent players in there. I thought Cucho Fernandez, when he came on, was really good. Sars, obviously, great. So going forward, I don't think they're going to have too many problems. I mean, they've got enough. He's left. They've got enough forwards to be all right. I think they've still got seven.
Yeah.
So they're all right. My worry for them is defensively. Like, I just don't think that they've, I don't know, defensively I worry for Watford. They don't seem to have the backup. Backman made some mistakes against Spurs, obviously. Yeah, I don't think it's been the best window, but they have bought, like, Sissoko isn't the best attacking player, but he will do a job for them and probably the sort of job that they needed. So maybe he is the right sort of player, a bit of Premier League experience amongst the new guys they've bought.
I mean, against Villa, I mean, they got three goals, you know, won that game 3-2.
They started really well, didn't they, in game week really one? Well.
Game week two, I mean, they were absolutely awful against us, against Brighton. You know, losing 2-0, barely had any threat whatsoever. Looks like they put up more of a fight against you with Spurs.
They did. They did put up a fight against Spurs, and they were all right. Spurs were not clinical. That's the other thing. They let them off a few times with goals that they really should have scored. I just do worry a little bit. There needs to be some consistency in the starters. Like, we're seeing a lot of changing around with Watford at the moment in terms of who's playing up top in particular. I think it's an okay window. There's a lot of names coming in, but are they the right ones?
I don't think it's a good window at all. I think it's a pretty appalling window for a newly promoted side to come up and not strengthen anywhere. Like, goalkeeper, defence, Sissoko.
Do you think it's because they've just gone down and they were like, you know, because it's not been that long since Watford were last in the Premier League. Do you think they've come up with
this is Watford, isn't it? They are such a yo-yo type side. Yeah. And Norwich are in danger of being that. Villa were that for a little bit as well. West Ham have been that in the past. You kind of need to solidify yourself in the league a bit. And they're obviously keeping faith in the team that got them through the Championship. I think they had the best defensive record in the Championship last season. But I look at their defence and think, you know, they signed Danny Rose. I don't think he's played yet.
He played in the League Cup and actually got man of the match in that game. Okay. Was good in that game, but hasn't played in the Premier League yet. And if I'm really brutally honest, I'm not sure Danny Rose has got the match fitness yet to play week upon week in the Premier League. Like, he's going to take a lot of work. He's been out of the game for, what, since he played for Newcastle? What was that, 1920 when he went on loan there?
Yeah.
It's going to take a bit of time for him to be back up to scratch, isn't it?
1920, we're going back to like 100 years. Like,
yeah, it's been a long time.
Feels that long. My prediction is I think Watford could end up as the whipping boys in the league.
Ooh.
I think they've had that good win against Villa, but that is a Villa side who are massively under strength and new signings and Grealish out and the first home game and all that. I just don't think they've got the squad at all to compete. I think they're the weakest team in the league.
It's interesting because I thought that they would be defensively really solid. Having watched them a lot in the Championship last year, I was like, you know, they're going to come up and be defensively solid. They'll concede goals because, of course, the Championship is very different to the Premier League. But I thought that they would be defensively more solid than they have been. And they've strengthened it in terms of they've added players to their defence. But it just doesn't seem capable of keeping clean sheets in the same way that it was last season.
2 out of 10. Worst transfer window of all 20 teams for me.
Wow, that's harsh.
Big statement, right? I just think you've got to look at a team when they need it. Well, you know, they need signings. I think they came up and they're relying too much on players who they're going to be relying too much on their defensive form. And the Premier League attack is so much better than the Championship, and that just goes without saying. And they're just going to get torn apart. They're going to get absolutely torn apart. And the fixture run they've got now is crucial. If they've got any chance of staying up, they've got to get some wins. Can't see it.
So I think I'd be inclined to give them a 3 and put them alongside Liverpool, because I think they have at least tried to strengthen their squad, while Liverpool almost acted as if the window was not.
Yeah, I mean, my argument would be that Liverpool have got a strong squad and they've got players coming back from injury who strengthen it further, whereas Watford don't have a particularly good squad and their only real signings are Dennis and Sissoko. Dennis massively unproven, Sissoko 32 years old, a bit of a liability at times.
I don't disagree with you. I just look at them and think, well, at least you've tried. You've tried to sign some people. I don't think you've got the right ones.
I don't think they've tried hard enough, Sam. I mean, the only benefit they have got is they kept Sarr. But I wonder if teams even really tried to get him, because I didn't see any rumours about him, really.
Yeah.
Shocked you, my rating, isn't it?
This one has. Yeah. I wasn't expecting you to be quite as harsh on Watford as you have been, but I am struggling to disagree with you, to be honest.
Bottom of the league, my prediction. Ooh,
you think they're going to come 20th?
Yeah. Bottom of the league.
Wow.
Worst team in the league, I think.
Poor old Watford.
I know. Do you know what? When I put their badge on the screen, I didn't even know they had a moose on their screen. I would just assume they had like a hornet, but they don't. They have a moose. Did you know that?
I did know that because they're my local team. So Watford are just down the road from us. So I did know that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think most people kind of assume that they'll have a hornet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you never hear them called the mooses, do you? Arguably a better name. I'd be more intimidated by a moose than a hornet. Anyway, I think we've done an hour and a half. We're both going a bit delally.
Two left.
West Ham. So they've taken £2 million in income. They've spent £67 million, West Ham, which is a lot of money. So Moyes is being heavily backed. I think at the start of last season, they hadn't bought anyone or maybe I'm getting that wrong. They got Benrahma in, didn't they? So he was a fairly big outlay. But yeah, I don't think they spent huge amounts of money. But yeah, £64 million they've spent. Zouma's come in, massive signing for them, £31 million, strengthens the back line. Vlasic, the Croatian, £27 million. Alex Crow, another Czech. Craig Dawson, they've made his loan permanent. And Areola from Paris Saint-Germain on loan. Oh, I think this is a hell of a good window for West Ham. Thoughts?
West Ham needed a good window, is my honest view, because obviously they've got a very, very big season coming up with their Europa League commitments, as well as trying to maintain it in the Premier League, because that's where things fall apart, isn't it, for clubs. You get clubs that they have a good season, they end up in a Europa League spot, and then they find it really hard, like Wolves a couple of years ago, they find it really hard to maintain both things. So you need to have a good window, and you need to make sure that the players that you bring in are going to allow you to have success in both competitions. And I think West Ham have done that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I was looking at the West Ham team's been playing the last few weeks, and I've been thinking, you're a centre-back away from really challenging. Top six, I think.
And where does it come from?
I have no idea.
Because, you know, I'm not being funny, but when they appointed David Moyes, I thought, what on earth has happened here? Like, David Moyes,
They went from Pellegrini, one of the most respected managers in world football, to David Moyes, who was a bit of a laughing stock.
Exactly. I was in my head thinking, and then at the start of last season, obviously they had COVID troubles and they started so badly last year. And then they went from strength to strength and they attracted the right players and they've had a good window. Were you surprised without Lingard? Were you expecting that to happen?
Yeah, I was. I really was. I thought he'd really be pushing for it. But I didn't really ever get the sense that he was. I think he's almost happy to be the kind of squad player at United. But he's never going to feature with Greenwood and Sancho there on the right now. I'm amazed that he hasn't gone somewhere. I think he probably will in January again. But I just look at the recruitment of West Ham, and they've never had a particularly good reputation for buying good players. And the transfers they've made over the last couple of years under Moyes has been really, really strong. And I look at all of these players on this list and I think, yeah, this benefits West Ham massively. Centre-back, straight into the first team. Vlasic, great competition for Benrahma. You know, great competition for Bowen and everyone on the right. Crowd, they need someone if Suchet gets injured. Now they've got that kind of like defensive legend. Greg Dawson, done so well for them last year. Areola, great competition for Fabianski. It's a great, great window for them. I really think it is. I'm giving them a 9.
I think it's up there. I definitely think it's up there. I'm tempted to go in just below Man United. I gave Man United a 9. And I think, or did we give Manchester United a 10?
No,
we gave Chelsea a 10, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I think they're just slightly underneath Man United. So I'm going to give them an 8.5 on that basis. I think they've had a brilliant window. Had they got Jesse Lingard as well, I think that would have been almost perfect. But I think what they've done gives them a really good chance of doing really well in the Premier League and in the Europa League this season.
I think they signed a left back as well, who isn't on this list. Maybe I cut him off because there's some talk that they could shift to wing backs again because they've signed this left back. So Creswell can now play in central defence with Ogbonna and Zouma. And then we could see Soufal pushed up a bit further, and this new wing back pushed up a bit too. So yeah, he's not on the list for some reason, but they have definitely bought a left back. I'm sure they have. Right, final team. We're nearly done, Sam. The marathon is nearly over.
It's not as bad as Chris's 7-hour stream.
I know,
though.
that was absolutely crazy, wasn't it? I still can't believe that he did that. Wolves, obviously new manager came in. Can't he call this a rebuild? Well, I suppose you can. 16 came in, 14 left. But 23 million they spent, 28 million they took. So they're in the green, 4.68. Eight Nouri was their biggest signing, 9.9 million. Saar replaced Patricio, 7 million. Mosquera, centre-back, who I think's gone back out on loan. Trincao on loan from Barcelona, who looks good. And their newest signing was He Chan Huang from Leipzig. Very, very poor goal-scoring record, but apparently is a real bully and plays up front with Son for the South Korean team. And they're actually, I've seen quite a few Wolves fans quite excited about him. So yeah, what do you make of this? New manager, attacking style, played well in all three games, got no goals and no points, but there's definitely returns coming for them, surely.
Do you know, it's funny because I just recorded a video for the family channel this morning about fixture swings, and Wolves are right up there. Their fixtures for the next 5 weeks are really nice. And having watched the Wolves games over the last couple of weekends, they've been so unlucky not to return something. And I think, you know, it always takes a bit of time, doesn't it, with new managers to kind of get into a situation where everybody knows what's expected. But he seems to have got them knowing what they need to do and doing what he wants them to do. Just we haven't had the returns yet. So what have they had? Third for goal attempts, we have 57 so far. Only City and Liverpool have had more. Top for block shots with 21. They've only conceded 27 shots. Only City have conceded less than them in the first three game weeks. So they're doing everything right defensively and going forward. They've only conceded one goal in each game. They just haven't scored any goals yet. But they're surely going to come. Trincao, I think he looks great, really great. If Traore, now they've kept him, that's a big part of this as well. They've kept Traore, who's huge for them. If he can start finishing his dinner, and with Jimenez now back, that's like having a new signing again this season. They could do really well. They're going to be more attacking. We've seen that already. They're really trying to push forward. I quite like what they've done in this window. I can see where the new manager wants to take them with the kind of signings he's brought in.
Yeah, no, I like him as well. I think it's, you know, it's hard when you come to a new club and you want to stamp your style. I think he's done that really quickly, and he's got them playing the way he wants, like you say, in almost just a pre-season. So you've got to give him credit for that. I think the problem they're having is that Traore cannot finish, and that isn't new information. We all knew that. No. But also Jimenez has seemingly forgotten how to score as well. And obviously he's coming back from the injury and things. But if you look at the amount of shots he's having, both of them are having so many shots. Yeah. You look at their accuracy and it's so low. So they need to start just putting shots on target, and then the goals should come. And I assume that's what they're working on kind of behind the scenes. He Chang Wang's an interesting one. I don't think he's going to be an FPL option, but I think he's going to provide sort of cover for Jimenez, maybe give him a bit of a rest every now and then. Or if they play up front together, then he should be good foil for him to stay more advanced.
Yeah.
Decent window for Wolves, though. I'm going to give him, I'm not going to go too high. I'm going to give him I'll give him a 7.
Yeah, I'm tempted to put him in with Spurs and give him a 7.5. I think they've, with these clubs with new managers, if you can see what the manager's trying to achieve in the window, and with Nuno, it's strengthened the defence. With Wolves, their attacking play has improved here. You can see where they're trying to go with the team for the future. So I think it's a fairly good start.
Yep. And they kept Traore, kept Neves as well, who was, I think, linked with Spurs for a bit.
Isn't everyone?
Yeah, I think they've done enough this window to have a respectable finish. I don't think they're going to be putting up trees, but I think, you know, they top half of the table, maybe 9.
Oh yeah,
maybe
should
pushing,
be
pushing for 8, something like that.
Should be, yeah.
Sam, that is it. All 20 teams done. If you're still here, if you watch this all, consider chucking us a like, subscribe to the channel. Definitely need a cup of tea. also consider joining the Fantasy Scout members, premium member. You get members' articles, you get season ticker, you get weekly projections, you get the transfer planner, members' videos from Mark, loads of great stuff as well. So, yep, consider signing up to that. But for now, Sam, let's go have a cup of tea. I hope you've all enjoyed this video. I know a lot of you have disagreed with our ratings and disagreed with the transfer figures that I got from a website online. So yeah, apologies if you were offended by any of that. But Sam, thank you so much for troopering on with me. And we'll be back for the Q&A.